the Black Authority. And the telephone number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the blackest radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Join us. And join us you shall, because on tonight's program here, it's something that I've wanted to talk about here actually for the past few days, as a matter of fact, and I wanted to talk about that here tonight. You know, being from Louisiana, football is like a religion down here to people. And on the way home, believe it or not, you got football stadiums, you got general use football stadiums, you've got middle school football stadiums, we got high school football stadiums, college football stadiums, we even got churches with football stadiums. No, I mean it the way I said it. Churches with their own football stadiums, and I'm not just talking about Evangel. And as I was out driving a few days ago, I passed one of these churches that has its own stadium. And I was thinking about, what it takes to, for a religious institution like that to be able to maintain that type of structure. What does that really require? And I realized, you know, that requires community. That's what that requires. Because you see, it's not the community that makes the builders, it's the builders that build for the community. The whole point of building your skyscrapers and your bridges, and then some of the really important things, skyscrapers and bridges, there are other more important things. That's what the builders are for, and they do that for the community. The community is what gives you the ability. The community is what gives the value to those things. There's a park in Benton Harbor, and it was a rich white family, even though it's a predominantly black town today. There was a rich white family back at the turn of the century, and they're the ones who had made that park. Rachel Maddow did a good story about it, how they had dedicated that park to the city of Benton Harbor. That's the kind of thing that you build for. You've got things like the Kellogg Foundation and the Ford Foundation and the Mellon Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation. But what are those really about? What does that really mean? What are those really for? That is another way of saying for the community. That's what it is. Now, those are not social service programs. It is the understanding by these people that they're supposed to be building for the community, and that that is what builds the community. Already in the Middle East, you have the Burj Khalifa, this mammoth structure. Tallest building in that region, and for a little while, I think tallest building in the world. And now in Dubai, they have announced they want to spend over $1 billion to build a skyscraper that will dwarf even the Burj Khalifa. And do you know what the real reason is for that? Do you know what the real reason is for building these mammoth structures? Do you know what that's really about? Now, most black people don't know. because we were stifled by slavery and now we're stifled by the bastard baby maker culture that does not build anything. But the reason that they feel compelled to build these things is because that is community. They want a structure that all of their people can rally around and say, this is us. This is what we can do. This structure represents the we. In Louisiana, we've got Tiger Stadium. For those of you who've never been to Tiger Stadium, it is a place that is so infamous. It's deafening noise. It is so infamous for its deafening noise that it has a nickname that it's an extra man on the field. If you've ever seen LSU play, their fans follow them from place to place to place to place. Even here in Shreveport, a place that, you know, sometimes struggled to sell out the Independence Bowl. But whenever LSU was scheduled to play, we had no doubt that this stadium would be sold out and sold out quickly. But Tiger Stadium, which can seat over 90,000 people, which is a monstrous number just by itself, that the noise can be so deafening in that place that quarterbacks of opposing teams tremble thinking about playing there because they know that if Tiger Stadium wants to crank it up, they found this out decades ago at Tiger Stadium, that they could actually yell so loudly that it registers on the Richter scale. I'm not exaggerating that. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not embellishing. Tiger Stadium, the fans literally can get so loud that it registers on the Richter scale. Good thing there's not a fault line down there, not an active one anyway. Because they could set it off, literally. And the team does not belong to the school. The team belongs to the people. That's why it has such incredible, undying allegiance. That's community. That's their Burj Khalifa. That's their Brooklyn Bridge. If you want prosperity, it will require a community. You can't do it as an individual. There is no such thing as individual power any more than there is consumer power or sexual power. There is no such thing. And black society is sorely in need of builders of the community because we don't have any right now. Hell, we don't have community, period. What we have are scores of competing individuals competing not for power, for progress, not even for survival, because all of those things would require community. No, we got people out here competing for attention. We've got people out here competing for whore attention. We've got people out here competing for cheap trinkets and baubles. That's what we've got. But not people competing to build a community. That's what we don't have. And as I drove by that stadium, I thought to myself, yeah, that's what you need. The stands have to be full because that is like a doctor hooking you up to an EKG. It's going to tell him if there's a problem. And when you can't fill up your stadiums, it tells us that the community is weakening. The community is sick. The community is ill. And that if this continues, the community will die. This is why politicians are so eager to march off to war, because war rallies communities. And as long as they can keep you focused on something, they've got you all together. That's why in the Middle East they built their massive shrines. That's why in black society they built churches. Even the pimp pastor preachers understand the necessity of it, even if they exploit it for their own personal gain. We need community. But for us, that community is going to have to be built. Well, I'm going to tell you, before I tell you how it's built, let me tell you how it's not built. In the last 5 days, I have sat back and I have witnessed as this avalanche of people have turned into complete idiotic, feckless fanboys talking about Kobe Bryant, I use this term for lack of a better term, black male, raised in Europe, brought to America, and like Barack Obama, another Negroid, raised overseas, brought here to be dumped off and to infiltrate us. Like Barack Obama, Kobe Bryant, completely and thoroughly divorced from black people. Doesn't see himself as a black person at all. And yet, you would never know that by the sycophantic, slavish way that black people sit up here and cheer and applaud him. This is a man who does not even acknowledge our existence. Let me say that one more time. Kobe Bryant is a man who does not even acknowledge the existence of black people. Kind of like Barack Obama, eh? I mean, at least we can say that Beyoncé Knowles can now claim that at least she has acknowledged the existence of black people. At least we can say that. At least we can say that now. At least she can. Her and her sister Solange, at least they can say that. But as for the rest of us, how in the world can you support a man who does not support you? How can you do that? How can you sit here and support a man who does not support you? As black people, we have a terrible habit of doing that. And that is what destroys communities, is when you cannot actually define and do not have a proper concept of exactly what it is that is in your best interests. And we have completely and thoroughly lost and abandoned that. We have completely and thoroughly lost and abandoned that. And what we are left with are imposters, frauds, phonies, pretenders to the throne, things that cannot empower us. things that cannot empower us. Those are the types of corrosive acids that destroy your community. When you can't actually articulate what it is that helps you. You see, white people understand this. There's a reason why certain traditions and things make their way across oceans. There's a reason why that kind of thing occurs. There's a reason why that happens. Because they know what it takes to keep renewing that. There's a reason why they brought their churches. They brought their sports. They brought those things with them. Things that require mass conflagration. They brought those things with them because that helps them to keep tabs on the health of their community. They supported their church. If you remember, as I've pointed out many, many times before here behind this microphone, the, as far as I am concerned, legendary speech by Martin Scorsese through Jack Nicholson in the Academy Award-winning movie The Departed, where Nicholson says, "Back then, we had the church," which was just another way of saying we had each other. He understood that. They understood that. This isn't just a church. This is our way of acknowledging we have each other. That's why when you go to their churches in the Italian community, in the Irish community, you could find your bankers, doctors, lawyers, and gangsters all in the same place. They understood where they needed to be. They understood that. And they all contributed to the church. Let me say that one more time. They all contributed to the church. For the ignorant and moronic who go around talking about the Bible is the biggest problem black folks have. Oh, if you can just get away from the Bible, Bible, Bible. Simple-minded nincompoops who run their mouths like that, they'll never lead you anywhere. Everyone else understands that religion is something that you use to empower yourself. If you are already feeling empowered, then it doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to, you will utilize it to empower yourself further. Religion is just a tool that brings out of you what you already are. If you are strong, it will make you stronger. If you are weak, you will use it to weaken yourself further. And that is the reason why a white man and a black man can both read the same Bible and come away from it with two totally separate sets of results, because one of you sees himself as weak and he looks for the parts in the Bible that reinforce your belief about yourself, whereas the other one sees himself as the master of all, and when he reads the Bible, he takes away from it that which reinforces what he believes about himself. You can have a black man and a white man both read the exact same chapter of the Bible, and both of them will come away from it with two totally sets of different sets of results, because they both walked in with two totally separate sets of expectations. One of you expected to leave weak, and the other one expected to leave strong. That's the difference. That's the difference. In white society, they contributed to the church. In Latino society, they do that to even the drug dealers. Pablo Escobar enjoyed unprecedented popularity in Medellin. He enjoyed unprecedented popularity. And the reason why was because he supported the community with the proceeds of his murderous drug binge. He built whole churches there. So when the pastors spoke to the people, the pastors supported Pablo Escobar's presence to the people. And the people rallied to him, and they still do to this day. They still do to this day. For those of you who don't know, there's even a patron saint of drug runners. For those of you who don't know, by the way, there's actually a saint of drug runners. Look that one up for yourselves. I won't give you that one. Look it up on your own. Pablo gave to the church, he gave to schools, he gave to the community. And the community grew stronger and prospered. And this is why you have these endowments in white society today. They understand that this is a necessity if you are going to maintain your communities. Do you know why almost all of your historically black colleges and universities are trap schools? They might as well be trap houses. They're all hood schools. You know why? Because it doesn't matter how well the students do. They do not see themselves as members of a community. So when they leave Spelman, they have left Spelman. They're not coming back. Not now, not ever. Now, you go over to Stanford, you go over to Harvard, you go over to Princeton, you go over to Yale, you go over to UCLA, you go over to LSU, you go over to TSU, you go over to Alabama, Arkansas, Columbia. We can go down the list. And schools that have white alums, they never leave. Mark Zuckerberg has never left Harvard. Bill Gates has never left. These individuals have never left. Those were the places that helped launch them where they are today, and they have never left. They give huge endowments. These people give huge endowments. And it's not because they're millionaires or billionaires. It has nothing at all to do with it. It is because they value those institutions. Wait, no, that is incorrect. That is incorrect. It's not that they value those institutions. Actually see those places as institutions. They actually see their schools as institutions. An institution is simply another way of saying a cornerstone of the community. They see those institutions like that. Do your black students at these historically black colleges and universities see those schools that way? Do they see those schools as institutions? Do they see them as necessary parts of the community? Because if you saw it as necessary, you would understand that after you leave, you have to make sure that you maintain it. And not just make sure that you maintain it. It is a symbol of pride to be able to do so. I have had the distinction of walking around Columbia University in New York City. The students there are as polite and well-mannered as you can be. You can see from the way that they walk around there, they have esteem for that school. For those of you in the Northeast at Yale, you know they have esteem for that school. Princeton, they have esteem for that school. Harvard, they have esteem for that school. The students have esteem for it. They consider it to be an honor to be able to build a new wing for that school, to open up a school of journalism at that school, a school of internet studies, information technologies. They consider it to be an honor to be allowed to give their money to those places. That's why Andre Young, a.k.a. Dr. Dre, gave $30 million to California State University. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. You know why? Because he valued it, even though he was never a student there, as I understand. He valued it. He does not value historically black colleges and universities. That's a cancer, people. That's a cancer. You are never going to own those white institutions. Not now, not ever. You'll never own them. And as black people, we are supposed to be maintaining our community. And there's a reason why I'm enunciating that word like that. We're supposed to be maintaining ours. You should be ashamed to see that type of disregard for it, because what are you building? Exactly what are you building? At Spelman, what do the black women who go to Spelman, what are they building? I'm asking a question here. I'm not being impugned. I'm not being accusatory. I'm asking a question. What are the black women Spelman doing for Spelman? Somebody just explain that to me. What are they doing for Spelman other than sitting there and seeing how high they can wear their booty shorts? When they leave Spelman, what do they do to come back for Spelman? Your sororities are packed and decked out. What do the alums who leave Spelman do for Spelman after they leave? So you mean to tell me that you were at that place all this time and you just saw yourself as passing through? It's just a club and leave it on its own. So is it any wonder that when you go out into the real world, that you're out there by yourself? Is it any wonder when you go out there that you're just out there swinging on your own, because you started it early? You started early with the concept that it don't really damn well matter. I'm out here for me. And I want you to understand that all of our enemies understand this. They see it and they recognize it for what it is. They recognize that because you don't have a community, you are weak. You are not cohesive. And because you are weak and not cohesive, you are easily picked off and victimized. They get that even if you don't. They understand it even if you don't. I'll see if we can try taking one phone call here. Let me get caller from 347. You're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 347 has been abducted. we'll just leave them to their own devices. If you're not building a community, and the community is the means by which you rally everyone else around you to understand what your purpose is, then you have no purpose. Yet you're seeing beauty pageants. That's what you think, but that's not what you're seeing. There's a reason why these people have the county fair, and the reason why they have the Friday Night Lights football game, and the reason why they have the sock hop and whatnot. There's a reason why they have all of those things, not just one, not just one. There's a reason why they have all of those things. They have all of those things, and they try to have them all together. And the reason why is because that reminds them what their purpose is. That's the reason they have it. They have it because it reminds them what their purpose is. But black people lack community, even right down to the nuclear level, even right down to in your own homes. If you are sitting at a table where there's a woman with children, you don't have a community. Your basic building block is broken. Your basic building block is broken. No wonder you can't get anything else going. If you go to schools that were built by your people, or at least built for your people, and you run them, and yet you don't do anything to maintain them, you're broken. I want you to understand that at a basic fundamental level, you are broken. And we need a class of black people who are not broken, who understand how important and imperative it is that we have institutions. But in order to have institutions, you have to have community. Community is another word for our obligations to each other. That is what community is. It is another word for our obligations to each other. That is why the Nation of Islam has been so successful over the last 80 years, because they understood their obligations to each other. They understood what that was. From Timothy Drew on, they understood what it was. But most of the rest of black society does not feel it has an obligation to others. And I'm here to remind you all tonight that we cannot survive without that. I have an obligation to all of you. There's a reason why a guy that none of you had ever seen or laid eyes on, and yet when I put out my documentary project, 7 a.m., there was a reason that you trusted it, and you trusted it because I had spent over half a decade coming to see you and commune with you. You understood what my reason for being there was, but more than that, you understood that I felt an obligation to you, an obligation that exists and lives on to this very day. You understood that. You understood it. You understood it. And so did I. And the greatest cancer and poison that we have as black people are those among us who refuse to accept an obligation and a responsibility to each other. As a man, you have an obligation to the community. to be the smartest guy in the room, to be the most ambitious person in the room, and to be the most productive, valuable person in the room. You have an obligation to do that by virtue of being a man. You have an obligation to do that. As a black woman, you have an obligation to the community to be virtuous, to be honorable, to live every day just as much as the man has to dedicate himself to being ambitious and productive. You have to dedicate yourself to being honorable and upstanding. That is your obligation to the community as a woman. That it is the man who builds and it is the woman who reminds the men what it is they are building for. That's your purpose. And down to the molecular level, we've lost that. Down to the molecular level, we've betrayed that. Down to the molecular level, we have abandoned that. And that's why everything is broken now. You have an obligation to hold yourself to a standard. You also have an obligation to hold those who would claim to be part of your community to a standard as well. This idea that everyone is off doing their own thing, this is absolutely intolerable and cannot be allowed. You cannot be off just doing your own thing. That's treason. And there is no place for a person who is walking among black people and yet is not a part of black people. There's no place for that. There's no place for that at all. I sat behind this microphone and I told you all that I was not going to cheer or support Cam Newton. Why? Because Cam Newton, I need to see what he's done for black people. I need to see the regard that he's held. I need to see what's been done for black people. Before I celebrate for him, I need to see that he's celebrated us. Some people didn't like that because it gets in the way of their brain dead, mindless zombie, the distraction. But I'm the guy here to remind you of that. I'm not going to cheer Kobe Bryant until I see Kobe Bryant cheer black people. I think that's a fair exchange. I think that that's just a basic requirement. If he's not going to cheerlead for us, what are we doing cheerleading for him? We are doing ourselves a tremendous disservice and a horrible violence to our psyches when we support people and cheer for people and dance for people and run the streets for people who will not even acknowledge our existence. And that has to be a requirement from here on in. We don't have to agree with them on every little thing. We have to agree with them on everything. But everyone must agree that if we acknowledge their existence, they must acknowledge ours. Otherwise, you are not part of the community. And if you're not part of the community, then you're not going to get any benefits from us whatsoever. Black society needs more faithful. It doesn't need more fanboys. It doesn't need any more groupies. It doesn't need any more celebrity chasers. Black society needs leaders. Black society needs builders. Black society needs people who feel an obligation to other people. That's what we need. And we don't have that much right now. We don't have that much. Because we don't see value in being black. The reason that they built the Burj Khalifa was because these were Arabs who wanted other Arabs to see pride and value in being an Arab. the reason why China built the Great Wall and their bullet trains and all the things they're doing today is because they want the Chinese to see and feel the value of being Chinese. Same thing for the Japanese. Same thing for the Swedes. Same thing for the Israelis. They want their people to see and feel the value of being themselves. And as Black people, with everything we've accomplished, we need to have the same thing. But not for what we did hundreds of years ago, but for what we're doing now. And anyone who does not try to maintain that is against us. They are against us, plain and simple. And I want you to become warriors. Warriors who will fight against that type of corruption, that type of rot, that type of destruction. I want all of you to become fighters against it. I want you to see the value in being Black, to see the pride in being Black, to see the esteem in being Black, not because of fairy tales that you regurgitate about pyramids from thousands of years ago, but by what you will be doing today to reaffirm the value of Blackness. I have the incredible distinction of making a documentary about entrepreneurship. I made a movie about business ownership. Not business tycoons, but Black business ownership. No one had done it before me. So I came to build my own modern marvel and to show that Africans didn't just build pyramids. We are still out here building pyramids. We're still doing it. That's what I was doing. And I want you to do the same thing, because this is how we show our children the way. This is how we remind what their purpose is. This is how you build a community. This is how it's done. I want you to start wanting to see your name on some things. I've seen in the last week, I've seen no less than 3 stories showing young Black women, the bragging about these young Black women being accepted into Ivy League schools. Black folk, or some prominent Black folk, bragging about that. Why are we not bragging about the Black kids being accepted into our historically Black colleges and universities? Because we're sending Black kids off to white schools where the white folk will let them know, for you to come here, you should consider it a privilege to come here, because what you will get from us, you will get nowhere else. Our children go to schools of their own people, and it's meh. And that is a crime and a disgrace. We should not be sitting here with children who are going off empowering everyone else except our people. That is disgraceful. It's disgraceful. Your children, we should be doing stories about your children being accepted into Black institutions. And these Black institutions need to see themselves as part of the community. At Harvard and Yale, Stanford, I've told you all before, that now they've got venture capitalists basically parked on campus. The schools, because of the successes of all these internet startups coming out of these Ivy League schools from Facebook and so on, now the schools are helping to facilitate that. Why is there not a similar structured program at all your HBCUs? Why is that? Perhaps because the HBCU does not truly see itself as part of the community, as a relevant part of the students' lives. Thus, they do not contribute to the students something necessary. They contribute to the students what they got. So if you want to be in class all day, they got you covered. And if you want to join a stupid fraternity that will do nothing for you except maybe help you find a job somewhere, they got you covered. But if you are looking to compete with whites and Asians and Arabs, you're on your own. No wonder the children do not see a value in what you give at the HBCUs. This will be hard medicine, but it will be necessary medicine. It'll be hard medicine, but it will be necessary. And I hope that everyone here tonight takes heed to that. Community is how we remind ourselves what our purpose is. And as we embark to build an economy, please understand that the end goal of building that economy is the community, because it is the community that will maintain that economy. And I want the day to come that it is black men in majority black cities and black women in majority black cities building parks, building schools, building bridges, building skyscrapers that dwarf everything else, powerful institutions that have our names etched in stone on them. That's what I want to see. I want to see our football stadiums and football teams, computer technology companies, colleges. I want to see all these things with our names on them etched in stone to remind those coming after us that they do have a community. They do have an obligation to each other, because this place is obligated to you. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the Black Channel Radio Program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is community.